you guys couldn't tell from the title, or if you couldn't tell from the remix, once again, craftily done by Justin, we are finally reviewing A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of talked about wanting to figure out a way to do this, and I mean, we have time right now, so.
And we want to generate some extra content, too, just because a lot of people have a lot more free time on their hands, and
yep.
So by doing this, we're just trying to help a little bit, hopefully a half an hour review talking about one of the best horror films of all time. We'll do that for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So diving right in then, let's just get into it.
Okay.
It's a 1984 American slasher film written and directed by horror maestro Wes Craven. I did a huge spiel on Mr. Craven when we reviewed Scream. So if you want all the details, go back to that. But Wes is responsible for a lot of stuff in horror, from Freddy to Ghostface, The Last House on the Left, to The Hills Have Eyes. He's awesome, and we miss him every day.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Film takes place in fictional Springwood, Ohio. What up? As four teenagers are tormented by a burnt man with a razor glove while they go to sleep.
Yeah. I mean, there's a summary.
The film stars Heather Langenkamp, Robert Englund, and Johnny Depp in his first film role. Langenkamp plays one of the most famous final girls, Nancy Thompson. She returned as Nancy in Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors in Wes Craven's New Nightmare, which we have a little while before we get to it, but that is my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
I agree.
She did go on to act in other films, but perhaps I found this out, what she is most well known for is her role as a special effects makeup artist. She worked on films such as Dawn of the Dead, the 2004 one, and Cabin in the Woods.
Really? I did not know. Okay. All right.
Yeah, either did I. I was actually shocked to find that out.
Yeah, wow.
Robert Englund plays Freddy.
Yeah.
And nothing else more to say, man. He is Freddy Krueger. They even brought in Jackie Earle Haley to try to do it in the reboot, and he can't do it. There's a reason why Englund has been Freddy in literally every incarnation that he has been. He was even the voice of Freddy when he appeared in Mortal Kombat 9.
Yeah, I mean, he does it. He like embodies Freddy in a way that I don't think anybody else can.
Yeah, especially as the series goes on, and we will get into that when we get into more of these movies.
Yeah.
But he just evolves with the character, and yeah, we'll talk about that in audio and probably how scary. And then Johnny Depp. We all know Mr. Depp. He has had some of the most iconic roles in the last 30 years of film, from Jack Sparrow to Edward Scissorhands to Sweeney Todd to Willy Wonka.
Putting Willy Wonka in there, huh? Okay.
All right. Disclosure time here.
Oh, no.
I was terrified of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory as a kid. Not the Johnny Depp one. The one from the 70s.
Yeah.
And so to see Johnny do it and have it be less scary, it was nice because, yeah, man, there's something about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory that scares the crap out of me.
Man. Okay. So I love Charlie and the Chocolate. I always get the two mixed up.
Charlie is one with Johnny Depp. Okay. Willy Wonka is one with Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder, yeah, okay. I love Willy Wonka, the Gene Wilder one. I to this day, I probably watch it twice a year. yeah, I don't know. I love that movie. Anyways, okay. Not Nightmare.
Shot on a budget, what was estimated to be about $1.8 million, the film would gross over $57 million.
That's a lot of money.
Again, folks, this is back in 1984. It launched a franchise that includes 9 films, including a crossover with Mr. Voorhees, a book series, a comic book series, video games, most notably a release on the NES, which I tried to dive into. I couldn't find a whole lot about it. But
from what I know, it is bad.
Okay. So should we try to find a ROM of it and play it?
No, it's like worse. I think it's on the level of like the original NES version of Friday the 13th, where it's like bad. Ooh. And very hard.
I think we should stream that some night. I think we should do something where we take turns streaming those two games.
Okay, I take Friday the 13th because I think it's better.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so that's all about the background. I think we just want to get into it. For these shorter episodes, as always, no 60-second plot summary, but we'll do a brief summary. Kind of already did it. Four teenagers are being terrorized by a man in their nightmares. Nancy starts to realize what's going on, and she confronts Freddy. She finds out that her mom and the parents of Springwood killed him, lit him on fire, and burnt him, and that he lives on in their dreams. And we'll save the twists for the review. But yeah, that's Nightmare on Elm Street, man.
Yeah, I mean, you said it.
All right, for pros and the plot, this movie proves once again that Wes Craven is the motherfucking master. The concept is so simple, but he doesn't go digging around in the side plots, which the other films will do, which we'll get to that when we get to that. His sole focus here is to make a terrifying film that blends reality and the dream world, and he delivers on the highest level.
Yeah, and I mean, he sets these rules for his monster, aka Freddy, and I obviously, like, it shares rules with other monsters,
the purity test.
Yeah, he has his rules for his monster, and he doesn't go outside those rules. Like, he knows his rules, he sticks to them, and it works within the movie.
Next, he constructs one of the best final girls with Nancy Thompson. Yep. I love her development in the movie because she kind of goes from a little bit weak-willed at the beginning to by the end, she's pretty much Rambo. And honestly, watching this, like, if anybody has listened to this podcast, people know I love Laurie Strode.
Yeah.
Like, I stan Laurie. I think Nancy's more of a badass in this movie than Laurie was in her first entry.
Oh, I agree. I mean, by the end of this movie, you have... She, like, multiple times tries to go in and get Freddy.
Yeah, and, like, hurts him and, like, knows what she's getting into and stuff. Yeah. And I don't know. I love it. Next thing I want to talk about is I love how instead of just being a straight-up slasher, there is kind of a mystery component there, right, that plays throughout the movie. And we, the audience, find this stuff out as Nancy finds it out. And I think that's really, really, really good. And even though later films would muddy that backstory and make it much more explicitly gross.
Oh, like the 99 prisoners and stuff like that.
And the diddling and everything. It's this one, it's implied. And honestly, that's enough, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. It goes deep enough, and I didn't think it needed to go any deeper, but apparently I was wrong. Apparently it needed to go a lot deeper.
And then the biggest pro I have, actually, for plot is that by the end of this movie, even before the end sequence, right, where they're in the car and the roof comes up and it's Freddy's colors and he drives away and he pulls mom into the house, right?
Yeah.
Even before that happens, Craven has blended the dream world into the real world so that we, the audience, literally don't know what's happening. And what I'm talking about specifically, where you kind of know this starts happening, is when Nancy is trying to get a hold of Glenn.
Yep.
She's calling over and Freddy's mouth turns into the mouthpiece on the phone, right? But she's awake.
Yeah.
Or she's supposed to be awake from what we know, right?
Well, I mean, I think she is, because after she leaves the room, that's when she starts yelling at the cop who, like...
But is it not a dream? That's why we're doing. I literally have in my notes, this was Inception before Inception. Like, we don't... Like, that's the beauty of it. Because, again, I watched this one... Usually when I watch Nightmare, it's to be afraid, because it is a scary movie.
Yes.
We'll get to that in the end. But this time, watching it more critically, he blends... Like, Craven, he literally blends the real world and the dream world so well that if you're, like, trying to pay attention when she falls asleep and stuff, you can't. That's what I'm saying. We don't know how, like, when she fell asleep that last night.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a good point, because, I mean, they kind of set that up with her saying she hasn't slept in 7 days. So,
yeah.
I mean, she could literally be sleeping, like, any time. Like, and we wouldn't know.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. I don't know. It's just... Again, because I was watching it critically, because I was literally trying to, like, pick apart at it and watch and see the sequences, because I remember that a little bit, I was just blown away. Like, obviously Christopher Nolan must have watched this movie when making Inception, because he took some notes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I do have some cons.
Okay, go for it.
First, I hate the family dynamic between Nancy and her parents, and in particular, I hate her mother. Her mother is unbearable, stupid, drunk, no redeeming qualities, and I was honestly cheering when Freddy sent her to hell. I'll get into that in acting too, but the character itself, I thought she was just miserable. She is the worst.
No, I mean I agree. She literally, like, Nancy goes out and she puts bars on all the windows and, like, she hides all the stuff from her daughter.
Yeah. And ignores her even though she knows what's going on. It's just, oh my God, I hate her. I hate her so much.
No, I agree.
And this last thing, it's not really a con, but I want to touch on it here because we will hit on the other movies in this franchise. I do like the other movies. And like I said, my favorite's New Nightmare, which will be a while before we get to it. This film is very dark and very scary. And there's a huge part of me sitting here watching it that wishes we lived in a world where that tone was maintained throughout. Because we're going to find out that Wes Craven kind of came off of the franchise for a while, and we'll see that. Kind of like in Halloween, right? The further we got away from his involvement, the more odd it tended to get.
That's a nice way to put it.
And but part of me wonders, like, if Wes has stuck around, right? Like he did with Scream. And Wes did the movies in between the original and New Nightmare. This might be the most terrifying and best plot-wise functioning horror slasher franchise of them all.
Yeah, like, I want to agree with you, but, like, I enjoy the other Nightmare movies for what they are in their, like, ridiculousness.
Imagine if they were, we'll get to them. And it's hard. We haven't reviewed them yet. And it has been a while since I've seen them. It's just, this movie is just, the plot is crisp, right?
Yeah.
It hits the points it needs to hit. And it just, I don't know. And I just know what's coming.
Yeah. No,
I know what's on the horizon. And we'll leave it there. Do you have any cons?
I mean, you kind of touched on it with, like, the parents in this movie, but I think, like, it's not only her parents, but it's, like,
all I have parents. That audio. For plot, I wanted to touch on Nancy's mom because she just sucked. She sucked the biggest of bags.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, then no. I mean, if we're saving it for audio, I got nothing else to say. Yeah, I mean, you pretty much nailed it on the head. Like, her parents are the worst, and, like, but other than that, like, literally, like, plot-wise, taking out her parents and, like, their whole skis or whatever you want, however you want to say it. It's a great movie. Like, it really is.
It's an amazing movie.
Yeah.
I gave it an 8.
I gave it an 8 as well.
Moving on to cinematography. Yes. Again, I don't know why I always say this. I'm just going to stop saying it. There's an 80s feel to it. It's alive and well. And I think because it has that 80s feel, I think it added to the feel of the film. Because the movie is meant, like I talked about in plot, it's meant to feel like a dream the whole time.
Yeah.
And I think that 80s aesthetic makes it look like a dream. And even, like, the mistakes that they do, like, I'm not sure if you noticed this, like I said, takes place in Springwood, Ohio. But when Johnny and Nancy are on the bridge, there's a palm tree.
I don't know that much about the States, so.
There are no palm trees in Ohio, Justin.
Okay, good to know.
The film was shot in Southern California, which is why there are palm trees.
Okay, fair enough.
But like I said, I think the 80s aesthetic helps it. Okay. Most important thing for me when it comes to this movie being successful was Freddy Krueger. He has to look terrifying. He has to look real. He does so many fantastic things that blend the dream world to the real world. And it really, really required good, amazing practical effects and an excellent performance by the character. We'll get to Robert Englund's performance a little bit later. So let's start with practical effects. This movie demonstrates why practical effects are superior to CGI in every single way.
I agree. It all works. Like, the way they kind of show him, even, like, when he's stretching out his arms, for example, it looks a little goofy, but it works for it. Like, it works in, like, adding the terror to him, where I think if you just had, like, CG arms stretch out, it would have been, like, really weird.
Well, hey, the first thing we talk about then, what's about Freddy leaning through the wall to loom over Nancy when she's sleeping? It's one of the first things you kind of see Freddy do. I mean, that's some dude leaning through a bed sheet.
Yeah. Oh, I again, kind of going back to my oldest brother being obsessed with Friday the 13th, he had all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies and he made me watch all the commentaries. So, I mean, it was really cool to like even hear about how they came up with the idea and stuff like that. It's just,
yeah,
it's just like, it's stuff like that, that like the like ingenuity of it, just like it works.
And then
so
comparing
well.
That to what we ended up getting with the remake when they CGI'd it.
Oh, I don't remember that. I saw the remake.
Oh,
once.
They do this exact same scene but with CGI.
Oh,
it's awful, dude. It is miserable. Okay, moving on to other cinematography things I thought were impressive.
Yep.
Tina's death sequence.
Oh, amazing.
Just, yeah, right? Like, what else can you say? Yeah. Like, from the four slashes that appear in her chest and the way the actress, like, is, like, rolling around and her boyfriend's freaking out and the blood all over the place and it just goes on so long.
But, and, like, the thing
like,
is,
it doesn't
like,
show anything. It's just, oh, my God.
And, like, she's not only rolling around, but she's, like, rolling around on the roof. Like, she's,
yeah,
like,
she's
getting,
moving
like,
up the wall, yeah, onto the ceiling, and, oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Oh, it's so great. Next, and I think this is probably my favorite scene in the whole movie.
Okay.
And I probably pretty obvious is the bathtub sequence.
Okay.
A lot of reasons why. First, oof, man. Like, I saw this as a kid. I was terrified. As I think after watching this, I never got a bath again. Yeah. This might have been the reason why I refused to take baths, like, even as an adult. And, like, just that hand coming up and, like, coming back down because you didn't realize it is, oh, it's just awful. And then, not only is it scary, right, because Freddy does grab her and pull her under, a lot of the slashers of this time, like we see in Friday the 13th in particular, really like to focus on female nudity.
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's just put that out there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This was an instance where if they wanted to, they could have gone gratuitous nudity galore, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't.
Yeah.
They kept it all in shadow.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was any, like, actual... Oh, I guess Tina, maybe?
No, because even then, they showed the four cuts, but they didn't. Like, the shirt stopped.
Yeah, see, that's what I was trying to remember. Like, there was none at all.
And that's not to say Craven didn't do that, because even though it doesn't happen in Scream or anything, but Wes Craven did direct Last House on the Left and The Hills Have Eyes. So let's not, like, forget that, right? But for this, Craven changes the horror genre whenever he made a new franchise. He changed the genre when he made this, because we even saw Halloween and Friday the 13th take notes from what happened on Nightmare on Elm Street. And when Scream came out, he changed the genre again. And I think that it just shows the power that Wes Craven has.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would agree. I'm trying to remember what would have been the first Friday the 13th movie after Nightmare on Elm Street.
All right, so after a quick Google search, Justin, funnily enough, the Friday the 13th film that followed this was A New Beginning.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to remember New Beginning. Oh, my God.
Dude,
all these movies are
like
blending
together.
They
all blend together. The Friday films in particular all blend together for me. Yeah. And then the last pro I have is that, like, Craven does, talk about some plot, he does an amazing job blending the dream world and the real world into one. And he does it without the use of heavy editing. Like, when she's in the school and then she's in the boiler rooms, or when she's at her house and then she's in the school, and then just the way the world changes without the heavy edits.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, it's impressive. It's super impressive. Like, Wes Craven was a maestro for a reason. And this is one of the ones that show it.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of, to put another point on, like, the school scene, like, I mean, when she, Tina, when she, like, wakes up and sees Tina being, like, dragged down the hallway in her body bag, like, it's fantastic. Like,
it runs into the hall monitor, who's Freddy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, I think that's, like, maybe where the goofiness started. But,
like, it was, like, tongue in cheek, but they, yes, like, we'll see. They blow it up. They take it to the next level.
I remember. But also, like, one of the scenes that really got me as a kid was always Johnny Depp's death scene when he gets sucked into the bed.
Oh, my Lord, yes. I saved that for How Scary. We can talk about it here. That's perfect. Let's talk about it.
I don't know. It just, like, it. I mean, you obviously knew it was, well, you knew something was going to happen. When it showed him asleep, you knew something was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I just, like, you almost like expected him to go into a dream world and not just like literally
suck into the bed and split up like a blood geyser.
Yeah, and it like happens so quickly. Like you see every other character like
one try of the funniest things about that sequence though is like they're bringing in a stretcher for him. Like there's no body, bro. It's just blood all over the walls.
Well, that's what one of the guys says. He's like, "Oh, you don't need a stretcher. You need a you need a bucket."
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, man. It's just so good. Like yeah, Friday, no, I mean, Friday is awesome, and it did what it needed to do, right? And Halloween, we all know my love of Michael Myers, but this is just different. It's a different cat.
Yeah,
I gave it 8.5. Like I had no cons.
I also gave it 8.5.
I think there's just other ones that are better, but it's still great.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like it's just a good movie.
Moving on to audio, another film with an iconic score.
Yes.
That we all know. And it also has that terrifying ass jump rope rhyme that literally haunts me to this day.
Yeah, and I mean it's like I'm trying to think if they've I'm trying to remember the rest of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. I'm trying to think if they've edited it at all, like changed it in any way.
We'll find out. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I mean they honestly wouldn't have to because it's like it's very haunting and it's right up there with like the theme of Freddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean you're not wrong. England, I promise to talk about this. The dude is Freddy Krueger. Like I mean he still wants to play the role. There hasn't been a new Nightmare for a long time, and even though I think Jackie Earle Haley is a very very good actor, like I do, when he played Freddy, it wasn't Freddy. You know what I mean? It just wasn't Krueger. And I do know that they're probably going to have to recast Freddy Krueger. And it's going to be different because Michael wears a mask, Jason wears a mask, Bubba wears a mask, right? These icons are more a presence than they are a person. Freddy Krueger is a person. And I think that Robert Englund deserves every single praise in the world because he turned this 80s slasher villain into an icon and honestly a pillar of American pop culture.
Yeah, I mean I cannot add on to that, but yeah, no, I mean I agree. It's I would love to be able to see him play him one more time at least, because like
me too.
I think it would be fantastic even if they went like new Nightmare on it. But yeah, I don't know. I agree he is Freddy. Yeah, I mean anytime I see him in anything that isn't Nightmare on Elm Street, I just assume that Freddy Krueger is in that movie somehow.
Me too. Yep.
But yeah, I don't know.
All right. And then next after him, Heather Langenkamp, man. She is one hell of a final girl. And like I already admitted earlier, I am certainly Team Laurie. I love my Halloween and I love my Laurie Strode. But after watching this, I think in their initial performances, because Laurie does get pretty badass, like in Halloween H2O and Halloween 2018, like she's pretty solid. But in their first outings, and it could be argued that Nancy had more time to prep, whatever, Nancy's more badass. And not only is she super badass, but her character has an arc, which again harder for Laurie in the first Halloween because it happens in like 12 hours.
Yeah,
so there's really not a whole lot of time to have a big character arc there. But I don't know. I think Langenkamp killed it, and I love Nancy, so.
I mean, I agree. I think she's
I also just right don't know why they don't have Nancy in Dead by Daylight.
Maybe because, yeah, I don't know. But I mean, maybe
they have Quentin from the remake.
I don't remember the remake, so.
Well, it's good. We'll get to that in, I think it's like 8 films away, so.
I am a little sad that we only I don't think she's in 2, right? Like
she's not one.
But nope. I know she's in 3, and I think that's
don't spoil it.
Okay. Then I'm not gonna make this point. I wish we got more of her out of this in the series.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I think she's such a great character. I mean, there's a reason why she plays herself in A New Nightmare.
Yep.
I mean
you're not wrong.
Yeah.
On to cons.
Oh, and, boy.
the rest of the cast in this movie, including Mr. Johnny Depp, are either really not that good or ungodly and unbearably cringy. And I hate every single performance given by every single parent in this movie.
Oh, the parents are absolutely horrible.
From the cops to the moms to the dads to the boyfriend's dads, just the cop outside the window is like, oh, maybe I should tell her dad, as she's breaking windows and saying someone's trying to kill me.
Oh, I know.
Like, I mean, I think it's part of the point, right? Like, I think he's trying to show, like, the youth can't trust the adults. So I get that.
Yeah.
But my God, did it have to be so unbearable?
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. Like, the parents are just, like, the worst part of this movie. And, like, it sucks because they really do drag down, I think, a great performance by Robert Englund and
Heather Langenkamp.
Yeah, Heather Langenkamp.
And it's weird, like, because like I said, I fully recognize what Craven's trying to do with, like, the comedy between the kids and the adults, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But we have seen other movies that we review on this podcast, such as Halloween or the first Friday the 13th, or even The Faculty, where, like, the parents are meant to be incompetent. Like, think about The Faculty, right? When nerdy kid Casey goes home and he's trying to tell his parents what's going on, and he's trying to escape, he's trying to say they're here attacking me, and his... like, the parents are dumb. They don't care, right? But they're still, like, not unbearable. Like, they're not, like, badly acted. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, they're not, like...
like, Shooter McGavin is still acting really well. It's just... he's just a shitty dude. He's a shitty dad, not a shitty actor.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. Like, he's a shitty character, but his character isn't shitty. Like, you can stand him, like, he's not unbearable. I don't know how else to add to that, but yeah, he's not unbearable, but you understand his character.
So before we ruin any potential to have any of these people on our show as guests, I gave the acting a 7.
I also gave it a 7. All right, 3 for 3.
Justin, we are all matched up.
I know. I'm really interested to see what's going to happen here.
All right, how scary. So... I want to say one thing first.
Okay.
As a kid, you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, because I know you're a little bit older than me. I watched all these movies. Halloween, Friday the 13th, Child's Play, Nightmare, all of them, right? But there were two that impacted me. Two that kept me awake at night. Two that made me think I was going to be in trouble later on. Blair Witch would happen later, but I don't consider that a slasher, so I'm not going to talk about that right now.
Yeah, of course.
The first is Child's Play, because of Chucky and the dolls. And having four younger sisters with dolls all over the house, that was real.
I can understand that, yes.
That was a real, real fear. The next one was Freddy Krueger, man. And it's because of this movie. Like, you watch that, you don't want to go to sleep. You don't want to deal with him. Like, he is terrifying. Like, even though, like, the diddling is hinted at in this, like, there's a lot of implication beyond that. For me, I don't want a guy with a razor glove chasing me around my dreams trying to kill me. Like, that is terrifying. And I don't know. He's iconic.
No, I mean, I agree. I remember watching these as a kid. And, like, I saw this. I didn't want to go to sleep. I didn't want to have to face Freddy Krueger in my dreams. Like, it was rough. And, like, it's weird. Like, I mean, obviously, as you grow older, nightmares are, like, weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they grow into this, like, weird thing, and, like, every once in a while, if I have a nightmare, hey, there's Freddy. Like, he's still there, but, like...
And that's the thing, is, like, we've hinted at it, and we're going to review the other ones, but in this one, 2 is still pretty spooky, and New Nightmare, Freddy is designed to be absolutely terrifying. He starts getting goofy in the middle. He just does, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think it is a testament to this film and how scary this film is that we don't think of Freddy as goofy. I think Chucky gets considered to be goofy, right? I mean, I think he's more considered to be goofy than he is to be scary nowadays. And even Ghostface, but that was kind of intended. When you think of Freddy Krueger, though, he's always scary. Yeah, we talk about some of the funnier death scenes, like the marionette or the drug or the bugs or whatever the hell you want to talk about your favorite unique Freddy kill is, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we're all afraid of Freddy Krueger. And it's because of this movie that Wes Craven made. And a lot of props goes to not only Wes for writing and directing, right? But to Robert Englund. Because he will be haunting the American, or just the, I mean, you're not even in America. He'll be haunting the global zeitgeist when it comes to horror slashers forever.
Yeah, and I mean, again, you're kind of nailing it all on the head, because I don't have anything to add, but I agree, like, there's a reason that when you, I mean, like you mentioned, yes, you think of, like, the ridiculous stuff that Freddy has done.
Absolutely. It's some of the one-liners he has, too.
Oh, yeah. But, like when, oh, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get to him.
But, like, when it comes down to it, you still think of him as, he's not, like, you can't laugh him off. He's still got that, like, presence to him that is terrifying. And, I mean, it's because of this, and I think to a lesser extent, New Nightmare, because yeah. This is like kind of what started it all. But I mean, there's a reason why he's scary. There's a reason and why last I had week, nightmares.
And last week we made our Mount Rushmore horror slashers with our patron Seagram and our listener Tuction. And it's the reason why he has to be on there.
No, I agree.
He just does. Like, even though we, because in the way we set it up, it was him versus Ghostface for the slot, right? Both with Wes Craven creations, both changing just the entire way horror and slashers were being handled at the time they released. But there's just something about Freddy. And even though I love Ghostface, I mean, anybody who listens to this podcast knows I love it. Freddy is special. And Nightmare on Elm Street is special. And it is a scary film. It holds up today. Especially when you watch it and you're trying to like pick out when she's sleeping, when she's not, when the dream world crosses into the real world, and that line gets blurred and you don't know when it happened, and that's pretty scary. So yeah. With that being it, I gave it an 8, Justin.
Oh my god, I also gave it an 8.
Wow, I think it's the first time we actually have the same scores all the way across.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
it only took us like over almost 2 years to do it, but
I mean, I will say, you know, it's kind of one of the, like the staple movies when you think of a horror movie. So I'm not surprised either, like at our scores. Yeah.
Before I reveal the final score, Justin, what subgenre did you place Mr. Krueger in Nightmare on Elm Street in?
So I had two.
Okay.
One of them, like, I don't know why, but I think it might've been because I was thinking of the other ones. I was like, oh, he's like a weird, like witchcraft, but I don't think we are there yet. I had three. I started off with witchcraft because we get there eventually. But then I was kind of torn between two because my first one was Deranged Man because... he's a deranged man. But my other one was, I mean, he's dead. So I guess technically in a way he's a ghost.
Okay. I can see both those. I didn't pick it. I actually picked Transformed Man. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because it's based on fears, both personal and societal, of man being anything other than normal.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's literally what gives him powers. So
yeah, so like he is a man, right? Because my first thought also was those two, was Deranged Man and Ghost. But as I started looking through the list of stuff we had, I think because he was a man, a deranged man. Yes. But now like he lives in dreams, right?
Yeah.
So he's like transformed. He's still a guy because he can pull him out of the dreams and all that fun stuff, right? But he's gone beyond that, which is why I went with it.
Yeah, no, I mean... hearing that now, I would agree with that for sure.
To review our scores, for plot, we both gave it 8. For cinematography, we both gave it 8.5. For audio, we both gave it 7. And for house scare, we gave it an 8. First time we ever gave the exact same scores all across the board.
Weird.
That gives Nightmare on Elm Street and Mr. Krueger a 79% C+. That places it on our horror rankings. It puts it right below The Lost Boys, which also has a 79%. And right above Blair Witch 2019, the video game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good spot to put it. Yeah.
All right, perfect. Well, guys, with that being said, hopefully you're enjoying this little bit of bonus content. We're just trying to do our little part to distract everybody from the craziness everything going on around us in the world. So look forward to more of these coming up in later weeks, as long as this keeps going and we have time to do it. And Justin, any last words?
No, I mean, just try to stay busy, I guess.
And, 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. Stay scary, guys. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at Here's Johnny Podcast at gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at Here's Johnny _podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/Here's Johnny Podcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers, so head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.